The Business on RTÉ Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
Bullying, sexual assaults, mobbing, and a force that barely tolerates women. These are just some of the incidents outlined in an independent review of the Irish Defence Forces. But how does an organisation get rid of such a toxic culture? We're joined by Patricia Scanlon, founder and executive chair of Soapbox Labs. She has worked across academia, big tech, multinational companies, as well as setting up her own startup company. And we're also joined by Ian Robertson, professor of psychology at Trinity College Dublin and author of How Confidence Works. You're both very welcome to the programme. Patricia, if I could start with you, as someone that has that varied background from startups and academia and so forth, what do you see as the main issues with toxicity in a working environment?
Thanks for inviting me on today. It is a good, really good issue to address in terms of the tech industry, which is obviously known really to be predominantly male. I've been there's a lot of people working on how we can address it, how you create that balance, because it's very well accepted that diversity in the workplace creates a better environment and makes more people comfortable in that, and you don't have one environment dominated by one gender, one race, one ethnicity, that, and then new people coming in don't feel comfortable. And I think a lot of that is around respect. It's around communication, open communication. It's around listening to people in the workplace and not making them feel isolated.
Well, if you take startup companies, a lot of us from the outside have this idea of a startup tech company as being a kind of a beanbags and coffee and lots of blue sky thinking, and it's all quite wonderful and open and transparent. You know, this is the sort of image. The reality is a startup business is like a pressurized powder keg, I would imagine, in many cases. And within that environment, there's lots of scope for toxic behavior from the top or elsewhere in the organization. Would you agree with that? Assessment.
There's potential in every industry for this, and I think you're right in a little bit, because when you have startups, they are a little more resource constrained. They have to move quicker. We got to beat the competition. There is a potential there. So there has to be intentionality from the very beginning that we're not going to create that. And I think a lot of founders do care very much about the culture they create in their environment. We talk a lot about startup culture, but sometimes that startup culture is 80 hours a week. Unreasonable expectations on employees in the evening or at the weekends, let's say if they've got kids or parents, that they're not allowed, or you won't get on if you don't comply with this pressurised work environment. And that can be tough.
Ian Robertson, from a psychological point of view, what's the sort of impact that working in a toxic environment can have?
Oh, very profound. I mean, we spend about a third of our lives or approximately in work. And if we are experiencing the grinding stress or conflict of a group of people not working well together or criticising each other, I mean, the greatest source of stress for human beings is the fear of the negative evaluation of other people. That's because we're a group species. And when we experience an unpleasant group culture, it causes our body to secrete cortisol, the stress hormone, and that's fine in the short term, but if that's long term, it actually has very negative effects on our body and in our brain, in fact, and can make it difficult to think clearly, can worsen our memory, and can contribute to burnout. So it's a hugely important and negative health
and
factor,
I suppose as well, Ian, it depends on the nature of what has happened. So if it's a big blowout row, if it's a bit of roaring and shouting, that kind of thing is one thing. But in many cases, the toxic culture is a series of small put-downs that keeps on going on and on.
Absolutely. I mean, the big row, it's explicit. You know what you're dealing with, but it's the cliquishness, the people who enjoy the underhand ways of undermining people, the passive aggressiveness. And that's where really a toxic, if you have a toxic work culture, that's really down to the leadership. Largely.
And I want to talk a bit about turning it around. Patricia, how does an organization turn around a toxic culture? One thing might be, if it's coming from the top, replace the top management. But if the top management, the CEO owns the company. That's not going to happen.
Look, I honestly don't think anybody sets out to intentionally create a toxic environment. I mean, it's not good for business. It's not good if you have high churn in the business. If you have people leaving a business, the cost of replacing them, the cost of that lost knowledge, the cost of skilling up somebody else on top of the recruitment fees. Nobody wants that. So I think once they are being made aware of it, and these days there are processes in place, HR processes in place, there's workplace tribunals, there's the commission stuff that you can go to. The intentionality has to be there from the top to address it. And it can be fixed at any time. Like, it can be by bringing in help.
If you avail of those mechanisms and you're in a small company, really you're heading for the door. And it's all about the terms of that exit. That's a long process.
Oh, no.
The door is the reality of it.
Yeah, sure. But if you think about the person at the top, and then let's say, like in your scenario, they own the place, that's theirs, they will deal with churn. Ongoing, they'll deal with, as Ian said, unproductive work people, stressed out work, their productivity will go down. You know, it's not, I think, I've seen people over the years who actually looked at their culture and went, oh my God, I've actually got a very unbalanced gender balance. How do I fix it? And, you know, maybe they started out that way and they didn't intend to, but they ended up and finding it very difficult to attract a female into it. But they actually, because the intention was there, that they wanted to do it, they went and got help, and they started addressing how they did their advertising, they started addressing how they interviewed, they started talking to people about getting help. That's intentionality, and I think you can turn it around. You can
That's possible.
Yeah.
Ian Robertson, what about techniques or things that maybe people can do to better equip themselves to deal with these kinds of situations?
Well, if your company doesn't have mechanisms for assessing what the culture is, and for properly having, you know, getting the leaders assessed, the people they're leading, for instance, if they don't have that 360-degree assessment, then sometimes you just have to put yourself into survival mode and create meaning for yourself despite the toxic workplace. And sometimes that means creating internal goals and challenges for yourself that, like, I'm going to be professional and I'm going to get satisfaction from what I'm doing in my own capsule, irrespective of the environment.
And
I'm
suppose the problem is that it's difficult to expect anyone, you know, to tolerate it. So therefore, trying to come up with coping mechanisms implies a level of tolerating it. But then at the same time, if they feel powerless to be able to change it, it's kind of a catch 22, isn't it?
Yeah, there are many people stuck in workplaces where they feel, maybe because of, particularly in public service, where generally leaders don't have carrots and sticks, and where it's, you know, it's much easier for toxic workplaces to thrive. Sometimes it really is a question, if you really cannot leave and get rid of this stress in your life in a new domain, you have to really, becomes a question of personal resilience. And realizing, you know, 30 to 40 years in a place, hanging in there for your pension, I mean, is it really worth it in terms of the cost to you if you're really in a place where things are not changing and the culture really is toxic? It's very bad for your health.
No, it really sounds like it isn't worth it. Patricia Scanlon, founder of Soapbox Labs, and Professor Ian Robertson of Trinity College Dublin, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.